11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. And that's very important. That's in the context of when the foundations are destroyed. The Lord trieth the righteous. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. But upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Shall we bow together in prayer tonight and let's seek the Lord. Father, we pray for thy blessing as we come now to meditate upon the scriptures of truth. And we thank thee, Lord, that thy word is ever relevant. There is a word in scripture for every season of life and for every circumstance of life and for every condition that thy people face upon this earth. We thank thee, Lord, for this blessed book. And we pray tonight that as we ponder what David wrote in this psalm, what David experienced at that point in his life, we pray that our hearts will be not only stirred, but that our hearts will be uplifted and encouraged and blessed of God. We pray for light in our dwellings and for our understanding to be opened up to the things of God. And may our will be renewed, and may our will be inclined after thyself. Lord, bless thy word tonight. We ask in the Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. The Psalms are the record of experiential knowledge. That is, knowledge that has been gained in the school of experience. And oftentimes it has been hard and pressing and difficult experience in which that knowledge was gained. That was certainly the case for David in this psalm. It marks a time in his life when he was pursued by King Saul unjustly and without mercy. You remember Saul was upon the throne. But the Lord had rejected Saul from being king, and he had chosen another in the person of David, one whom he described as a man after mine own heart. But Saul acted out of envy, and he acted unjustly and without mercy towards David, so much so that David was as a bird hunted, and he speaks of that here. In this particular psalm, flee as a bird to your mountain. The inference being that he is being pursued like a bird by the hunter, without fairness, without justice, and without mercy. And those friends who were round about him, some of them were timid, and they feared for David's life. They reasoned that he should flee to some mountain in order to escape and to hide himself from the rage of King Saul. But their advice, which pressed heavy upon David's heart, he felt its force, he felt its power. That advice David did not take. Of course, what they were suggesting seemed to be without dispute. But David reasons in his own mind, this is not the time for him to flee to this mountain. This is not the time to flee. Although he was being pursued by Saul, and it seemed as if the foundations of law and justice had been destroyed, and the voice of reason said to him, flee, David did not listen. David did not yield. Look how he begins the psalm. He says, in the Lord put I my trust. In the Lord put I my trust. David had reasoned in his own heart. In the midst of the urgings of his friends round about, that he would not bow down, he would not give in to the injustice that was prevailing, to the wickedness of King Saul that had been manifested, but rather he would commit himself, he would commit his way, he would commit his circumstances to the Lord. Now, David's experience has been replicated many times since, both on an individual level and for the cause of Christ collectively or generally. Seasons of fierce and relentless opposition, when it seems to the outward eye, it seems that the foundations of truth, the foundations of faith, the foundation of Bible religion appears to be destroyed altogether. And reason, the voice of timid reason, says, flee away into your mountain. David's response is both noteworthy and praiseworthy. I like what C.H. Spurgeon said. He said, there is no such word as impossibility in the language of faith. That martial grace knows how to fight and conquer, but she knows not how to flee. What we have in this psalm are words that are without dispute, relevant to our own times. Verse number 3, David says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I am stating tonight that this is a text, this is a question that is relevant to the day in which we live. It is relevant for the Christian church. It is relevant for the people of God. What David experienced then, all those years ago, is something that is being repeated in our own day and generation, where we could rightly say the foundations are being destroyed. And so I want for a few moments tonight to consider when the foundations crumble. And I want to begin by asking the question, what are these foundations that David refers to? A foundation, of course, in reference to a building, is the most important part of that building. While it is unseen, while it is hid from the natural eye, it is the most important part, because if the foundation is not sound, the whole building will eventually feel the effect. The foundation upholds, it underpins the whole structure, it supports, it is something that is supposed to be fixed and settled in order for the edifice to stand. Now, in the context of this verse, verse number 3, the foundations that David refers to here must be viewed in a spiritual way. He is talking in the context of the righteous. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So he's talking here in a spiritual sense, in a spiritual context. He's talking about the spiritual circumstances that prevailed in his nation at that particular time. And in the context of David's experience, the foundation of law and truth and justice and mercy had become eroded. Saul was acting unjustly, unfairly towards David, treating him as a villain, one whose life must be taken from the face of the earth. and everything that was good and everything that was godly had been turned on its head. Good was called evil, and evil was called good. That's the sense here in which he refers to these foundations that were being destroyed. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The people of God may live to witness. The foundations crumble. The foundations being turned upon their head. And the Bible speaks about those foundations. The foundations that David refers to. If you turn to Paul's letter to the Hebrews and the chapter 1, in that opening chapter, he makes reference to the foundation of creation. And he says there in the verse number 10, we're breaking into the order of the exposition here, but he says, "And thou, Lord," and he's quoting from Psalm 102, "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands." The foundation of creation is the power of God. Emphasizing the fact that all that we see with the natural eye and what we cannot see, what we are incapable of seeing with the natural eye, this vast, vast creation rests upon the foundation of God, the foundation of God's power. It is the living evidence, the perpetual witness to the existence of God and to the power of the Creator. The Bible speaks of the foundation of creation. But it also speaks about the foundation of truth. In John chapter 17, in the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus on the eve of his death, John chapter 17 and verse 17, the Lord says, "Thy word is truth." Emphasizing that the foundation upon which truth rests is the Word of God. The Word that has proceeded from the mouth of God. You cannot find truth anywhere except in God's Word. God's Word is the origin. God's Word is the source of all truth. It is the foundation of truth. If you want to know how this world came into existence, you must come to the Bible. The Bible alone will tell you. There are three great questions that face every human being. Number one, where did we come from? Number two, what are we here for? Number three, what will happen after we die? And only the Bible, only the Word of God can answer. Only the Word of God can give us the truth concerning those questions. Those momentous questions of life. The Bible is the foundation of all truth. You cannot find the truth anywhere else. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." It is the origin, it is the source, it is the revelation of truth. It is the foundation. But the Bible also tells us of the foundation of salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul writes, No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And here Paul is speaking upon the foundation upon which salvation rests. Many a person is trying to rest their salvation on their own works, on their own goodness, on their own efforts. But Paul says the foundation of salvation is Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is no other foundation. There is no other way of salvation But in the person of Jesus Christ, in his life, his sinless life, his atoning death upon the cross, his bodily resurrection. And it is only by believing on him, trusting him, resting upon him, that you and I can be saved. There's no salvation outside of Christ. And David says, what can the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? These are the foundations that he's speaking about, that relate to the righteous, the foundation of truth, the Word of God, the foundation of creation, the power of God, the foundation of salvation, the Christ of God. These are the foundations that David speaks about. The foundation is all important. It underpins the whole edifice. It is that which is fixed and settled. The most important part of any building is the foundation on which it rests. And David looked out over his own day, his own generation, his own country. And he sees a situation arising that causes him to ask this question. If these foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But that leads us to a second thought in this question, namely the serious evil that David identifies. The serious evil that David identifies if the foundations be destroyed. If they be destroyed. Now we've got to be very careful when we approach this reality that David draws our attention to, because there is a sense in which these great foundations can never be destroyed. Paul said in his second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 19, he said, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation that God has laid is absolutely sure. It is as sure and firm and steadfast as God himself is. There is a sense in which the foundations can never be destroyed. The Word of God can never be destroyed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, said Jesus, will never pass away. It liveth and abideth forever. No matter what men do, no matter what the powers of evil do, they cannot destroy the word of God totally or finally. They cannot destroy the foundation of creation, though they may invent their theories and concoct their ideas of how this world came into existence in order to annihilate the existence of God. But they cannot totally and finally and utterly destroy the foundation of creation. This creation is here by the power of God, and only by the power of God. And they certainly cannot destroy the foundation of redemption. And Jesus, when he said to his disciples, whom do men say that I am? They gave all the different ideas that men had suggested. And Jesus said, whom say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, on this rock, on this foundation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, they may rage, they may foam with their hatred, their malice. But Jesus said they will never prevail. They cannot, there is a sense in which they cannot destroy the foundation. But what is David talking about then? When he says, if the foundations be destroyed. He's referring to that sense in which the foundations can be destroyed. And that sense in which there are very serious implications for the righteous. Look at how he words this. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that latter part of the statement, that question in this statement, what can the righteous do, is expressing the sense of horror, the sense of exclamation. This is a situation, the seriousness of which should not and cannot be underestimated. This is something that is most serious, most alarming. This is something that is most concerning. There is a sense in which the foundations can be destroyed. And when they are destroyed in that sense, it creates a scene of great fear, great dread towards the righteous, in the hearts of the righteous. What can the righteous do? What is David referring to? He's referring to these great foundations that God has laid being destroyed, not in themselves, but being destroyed in the mind and heart of the society, in the mind and heart of the nation, in the mind and heart of the people. Wherein the people cast away, cast off everything that is right and true and good and of God. That's what he's referring to. You take the case of King Saul. And King Saul abused his position and he abused the power that he had in order to suppress what was true and what was of God. That's the sense in which the foundations were being destroyed. And how relevant is this psalm to our own day and generation? We must not delude ourselves. Because this is what's happening in our own land before our very eyes. The foundations are being destroyed in the heart and mind of the people, in the heart and mind of the nation, in the heart and mind of the country. The foundations of truth are being destroyed. And that's why we're seeing the direction in which the country is headed. That's why the decision was taken to run the marathon on the Lord's Day. It comes from this destroying of the foundation in the mind and heart of the people. That's why we're hearing these calls for abortion to be introduced. That's why we're hearing this demand for what is classed as equal marriage, the introduction of same-sex marriage, and this driving force in our society advocating what is contrary to God's word, and it seems to be sweeping away all the foundations. The foundations are being destroyed. They're being destroyed before our very eyes. Casting away what is true and what is right and what is proper. And who would have thought that a political party based on a Christian ethos, and I name them specifically the Democratic Unionist Party, who would have thought that they would now be advocating and promoting sodomy? And that's exactly what they're doing. And I send a message to the leader of that party telling her that I can no longer support or vote for her party, that she has taken it away from its Christian foundation and its Christian basis. And I quoted the scripture that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. There's only one direction that party's going, and it won't be long until you have DUP members marching in the gay pride parade in Belfast. That's the way it's going. Who would have thought? But David identifies here a serious evil. A serious evil. This possibility, this reality of the foundations being destroyed in the minds and hearts of the people. So that everything that is of God is swept away, cast away in the tide of evil and the tide of wickedness. How relevant the Word of God is, and how appropriate to our own day and generation. But you'll notice what David did when he was faced with this great evil. He reaffirms his faith. His friends tell him to flee, but instead David says, "In the Lord put I my trust. In the Lord put I my trust." And what does he do? He brings the matter to the Lord. And he looks at this not from the human viewpoint, because if he looked at it from the human viewpoint, he would be totally dismayed. You'll notice what he does in verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord is on his throne. And the Lord is looking upon the situation. David realized that when the foundations were being destroyed and society was turning away from the Word of God, that the only answer was to turn again to the Lord. To look to him. And when the foundations in society are being destroyed, then the great task in hand is to rebuild the foundations. No use talking about the windows. No use talking about the roof or what slates are used on the roof. No use talking about the furniture in the building. The task in hand was to rebuild the foundation again. And when we look at our country tonight and we see what's happening as Christians, and listen, we need to look at this because it won't be very long until this Bible is banned. There is only one conclusion to the establishment of sodomy in the land, and it's the banning of the Bible. Won't be very long. And this party that was based on a Christian foundation to begin with has cast that away. They've cast it away, and they will stand before God at the judgment seat. They'll stand before God. But they have opened the floodgates. They have opened the floodgates. And this tide of evil will come sweeping in with tremendous force so that it will seem unstoppable. And everything that is good and true and righteous will be swept away. The foundations destroyed. And our great need today is to see the foundations laid again. That's the pressing need. The central issue, the battleground right now in this country is the authority of the Bible. The central issue is not homosexuality. It's not abortion. It's not even the sanctity of the Lord's Day. Those are not the central issue. The central issue, the battleground right now in this country, is this book, the Word of God, the authority of God's Word. Because if people don't believe that this Bible is the Word of God, then they can just throw marriage on its head and say, we want same-sex marriage. They can throw out the law against abortion and say, we want the right to kill our babies right up until they're born. We want to be able to do whatever we want to do on the Lord's Day. And it all stems from this. They do not accept the authority of the Word of God. They don't accept the authority. That's the battleground. And what we need to do today is to get back to realizing that we've got to lay the foundation again. The foundation is destroyed. A new generation has come up. Now, I put out on my Facebook the other night that Christians should be calling for a referendum on these things. And I am amazed at Christians and ministers who have got at me and said I was wrong for doing that. I was wrong. They don't realize just how serious things are. And it may actually be a last resort. And the reason I'm saying that is because we have a generation that experienced a moving of God, and in a few years they're going to be gone from our society. The Lord moved in the 70s and 80s, and there was a generation affected by the power of God and by the power of the gospel. But in a few years that generation will be gone. And the generation that has replaced it is a generation that is devoid of Bible truth, Bible knowledge, Bible influence. And they're just following after the nature of their own heart, craving what their own heart lusts for, throwing away the Bible, mocking what the Bible says, mocking those who stand for the Word of God. And the great pressing need tonight is that the foundation be laid again in a new generation. When Peter went before the Jews on the day of Pentecost, he was able to come right in with the gospel. But when Paul went to the people in Athens, he had to go right back to the beginning. He had to start to lay the foundation. The difference was the foundation hadn't been destroyed in the Jewish people, whereas the foundation in the Gentiles of Athens hadn't even been laid. And there's no point us going to this new generation and say, you've got to keep the Lord's Day holy. There's no point saying that. Because they haven't got the foundation to begin with. And to them it's just pie in the sky. Pie in the sky. This mythical being in the sky. That's how God is referred to by a new generation. We have got to lay the foundation again. We have got to see what the pressing need is of our day and generation. Paul went into Athens and he saw their ignorance, the altar to the unknown God. And he seized on that and he recognized that's the problem. They don't have the knowledge of God anymore. The foundation needs to be laid once more. That's what we need to do. And that's why we're seeing this great, almost unstoppable tide. The momentum is building. The momentum is building. And those friends of mine who took exception to what I was saying didn't stop to realize that what I was saying was, we have got to harness the influence of a previous generation, what's left of it. that experienced God and has a knowledge of Bible truths. We have got to have a means and a mechanism whereby that experience and that influence can still express itself in the hope that it will slow down the momentum, because it's coming and it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before the floodgates are lifted and this great flood of evil comes sweeping in with no restraints. No restraints. David said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? He realizes the serious evil. And he realizes in that circumstance, the answer is not to listen to all the voices round about. The answer is to turn again to the Lord and begin to rebuild the foundation. That's the starting point. That's what we need to do as Christians. I think we're coming at the situation from what we remember it to be 20, 30 years ago. And we haven't stopped to realize the change that has taken place in society. There's no foundation of Bible knowledge. No foundation of Bible truth. And our task, therefore, must be to lay the foundation again in a new generation. Take them head on and raise this issue of the authority of God's word. And all the reasons why they do not believe that the Bible is authoritative, the authoritative word of God. That's where we've got to start. That's where we've got to begin. And we must pray to that end regarding a new generation rising up. We must pray that God will equip us and help us in this age to see what needs to be done and then set about the task of rebuilding the foundation. Do you remember when Ezra and the Jews came back from Babylon and they looked out and they saw the ruins? Great temple had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar 70 years beforehand. What did they begin to build first? They began with the foundations. Nehemiah came later on and he built the walls round about. But the foundations had to be built first. Had to be relaid. And that's the great need once more. We need to get back to the Bible as the authoritative word of God. The authority of what we believe. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Spurgeon put it like this in his commentary on that psalm. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous not do? What cannot the righteous do? That's the way he put it. What cannot the righteous do? Oh yes, there's a serious evil, but God is in heaven. God is on his throne, and when his people turn again to the Lord, they will receive the strength to rebuild the foundation. Let me ask you tonight, what is your foundation? What are you resting on for your salvation? The foundation of salvation is Jesus Christ. We learn that from the Bible, which is the foundation of all truth. Are you resting on Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior? That's your great need. To look to Him. Receive Him by faith. To trust in His finished work. And then you shall be saved. Let's turn in our hymn books to 300.